Hey everybody, this is Mel and Brooke from Mom's Art 2. Okay, before we start the episode, stop listening right now and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
If you want to watch us make a fool of ourselves, subscribe to our YouTube channel at Mom's Art 2 and get video episodes each week.
All right, on to the show.
We are just two moms in search of inspiration
while creating questionable comedy.
Moms are too.
Silly. What? Silly.
What? Hi, Brooklyn Sample.
Oh, hi, Mel.
Hi.
Well, welcome everybody to this episode of Moms Are Too.
Woohoo! Woohoo! Toot toot.
Well, okay, well, we have a really special guest this episode.
Yeah, we do.
If you've been listening to us since conception, yeah. Bless you, or if you've heard our earlier episodes, you'll realize that around episode 22, we started to sound a little bit more legit.
I mean, not because of us.
Sound quality, no. Sound quality, oh, all technical shit. Totally.
All post.
We are just awesome all the time.
I mean,
Well, the sound quality, our format, our topics, okay, they've evolved into a pretty fucking professional show, I might add, without compromising our raunchy selves, I think.
That's right.
And look, that's all thanks to our guest today, our producer, Rob Adler.
Yeah. Really, we're a fucking mess without him. We're a fucking mess without him.
Look at us. He's not here right now. We're all over the place.
Holy fuck. Well, let's get to him. What do you got to say?
Oh, we're just what we're going to talk to him about. We're going to talk to him about how he got into producing podcasts. And then he's got a bunch of other really exciting projects that have nothing to do with producing podcasts.
I thought you were going to say he has a bunch of other shit going on.
He does.
He does, though.
He really does.
It's good stuff, though. He does
nothing to do with us. And you know what? That's fine, Rob. Just go
Rob has other friends? I'm uncomfortable with this.
Yeah.
And he's getting fucking married and stuff. Like, he has a girl in his life that isn't us and our potty mouths. Whatever.
He could care less. He spends like 2 hours on our show a week.
I know, but he also is like,
done with that.
Yeah, fucking done with those bitches.
Let me get back to my real work.
I know. He really saves us,
bless
though.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. He really does save us, though. God, we're so fucking grateful.
He does.
Grateful.
And as you can tell. And then now you're about to meet him.
Yay! Here's.
Should we just get into it? Let's just go into farting around with our producer and yours, Rob Adler.
Yay!
Farting around with friends.
Fart, fart, fart.
With friends!
Silly.
We do have someone on the show today, which is weird because we usually only speak in private out of our own shame. Brooke, you want to give us a little intro?
Yeah, this guy, I mean, we have spoken about him. We have uttered his name in great accolade. We have the owner of Brooklyn Frequency. He's a musician, a photographer, a podcast producer for many shows, including this one. And now a documentary film director, Mr. Rob Adler.
Oh,
Rob, welcome to the show, Rob, the show that you listen to all of our nonsense every week.
No, not nonsense at all.
Not by choice.
100% by choice.
100% by choice.
And happy to be here. Excited to be here. Talking to Brooke last week. I think this is coming. It'll be coming up on a year that we've been working together. So it's high time.
That's crazy. What was our start date? Do you know our birthday? We just talked about.
I feel like it was. I think it was like August 1st. I think we did a clean start then.
Yeah, the August 2nd.
The August 2nd
episode is the one where the music changes.
Right.
And you know that Rob has entered the room.
Rob got his hands on us.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know. Goodness. I don't know about that music, guys. And it's such a play.
Yeah.
So kind.
That's the thing is he's very polite and he always like just kind of laughs off to the side. And we know he's leaving the meeting and talking to his fiance like, oh, fuck.
Jesus Christ.
Absolutely not. That's all my other clients, but never you guys.
Oh. We will make them not listen, just like everyone else in the world, to this podcast so that they don't hear that.
I mean, I'll cut it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got all that creative control there. I like that.
Rob's in Brooklyn, so he's on East Coast time, which is always very cool. And it's probably nicer there than it is here, which is always seemingly the case as well. But I want to hear about your history and how you got started, because I feel like there's a lot of people, my nephew actually included, who are getting into music, getting into the arts, and they, I don't think they understand the evolution of like where you can go and have so many avenues to choose from, and kind of you followed your string of where life left you. So how did you get started? What was your jam?
Yeah, so I'm pretty fortunate in that I am the son of a professional musician. So one, just have had like a good role model. My dad's a classical trumpet player, but he also does a few other things.
Your mom's a lucky lady.
I mean, if you like trumpet being played for multiple hours a day, sure.
That's hilarious.
There's worse instruments. Yeah. But the way I like to put it is my dad's studio was in the basement where we all, it was the Midwest. That's where you hang out.
The Midwest. Yeah. We're Midwesterners. Yeah. Tell where everybody are you in the Midwest?
Suburbs of Minneapolis.
Fridley, Minneapolis.
For anything, for anyone. Friendly Fridley.
Fridley?
Yeah.
What's it say?
Friendly Fridley.
Oh, I can see that in you. That's good. You got good roots.
Yeah. So his studio is downstairs. And the way I like to put it is we always had like a secondary soundtrack to any movie we were watching because he was always just practicing. So it was just a lot of competing sounds in the basement.
Does your mom drink at night?
No. She is upstairs. That's why I have the basement.
Okay, good. Yeah. With her headphones on.
Oh my God. That's why you can multitask, because you're so used to having all of the chaos going on. You can multitask.
Honest to God, like I'll... when me and my fiance first started dating, like I'd have like three things on between like, I'd be like listening to a podcast, maybe be playing a video game, and then like something else might be going on, and she'd walk in and be like, how is your head not exploding? I'd be like, what? It's like, this is fine. I can pay attention to all of it.
It's normal. It's fine.
But yeah, so from like an early age, I was always going to my dad's concerts, and again, just hearing him play music in the house all the time. So I actually started off on trumpet, pretty quickly added in guitar, and
to get the chicks.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because trumpet, I mean, if you're in middle school and high school, trumpet is like, okay, you're a trumpet player. Sure. I get it. You're in the band. But once you start the guitar, you're like, yeah, babies.
Yeah. Figured it might do something for me.
Yeah. And it has.
Maybe. It's gotten me some good grad school debt. But other than that.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Lordy.
We'll get there. We'll
can't
get there.
Even. Okay.
Just planting seeds for later talking points.
Look at you.
I really wanted to be in a band too in middle school. I was like, well, I got to play something. I don't even know why I chose guitar. It's just
ska band.
Like,
you could play ska, be in a ska band with that trumpet.
That was actually one of the goals, to do like a ska band. We were I was in middle school, it was like the tail end of ska kind of, the ska wave, I guess we can call it.
Yeah.
Goldfinger and Big Fish. And yeah. I was into all that. I loved it.
I don't know any of that.
It's good.
I'm sure it was cool. I was
we'll
not.
Send you a playlist later.
Okay. Or you can just play me some ska on your trumpet.
Not so good at trumpet anymore. But yeah, so started playing guitar, really got into it, and then actually got into, once you know college was approaching, was trying to figure out like a program that I could do and you know have a career in music. And my dad also does music engraving, which is like doing basically page layout for published music, right? So if a composer writes the music, they don't necessarily know how to make it like publishable, right? Or look publishable like on the page, right? So same thing like if an author writes a book, they have to do the actual page layout, right? And pagination and all that.
Format for print and yeah.
Oh my God, that's cool.
Exactly. And there's so many weird, obscure rules with music publishing.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Him and my mom both were very keen to recommend I do something other than just like performance.
Yeah.
You can practice an instrument. You don't need a degree to play an instrument, right? they recommended I, you know, find something else.
And to back on.
Or just to like, to supplement, right? Like,
you can do
the music thing, but you want to like a, you want some other skills too. Cause there's very few people that can just be performers, right?
But that's the thing. That's really good advice. Like, even if you really want to write music or whatever, like, you want to play an instrument and be in a band and be a performer, going to school for that is, you can practice that. You can get better. You can private coaches for that. But going and learning these skills that surround that thing so you can actually evolve, that's huge. That's really good advice.
Yeah.
Good job, parents.
No, totally. So I ended up going to University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh.
Oshkosh,
Bagosh, same town.
Yeah. Now I'm picturing you in the overalls forever.
Yes.
Totally. With a bowl cut.
Oh, more of a mullet.
Good God.
It's pretty good.
Yes.
Pretty great.
Is it curly?
Oh, yeah. And blonde, too. I had a blonde.
Woo! Mullet. Oh, my God. We need photos.
Did you have stair steps?
Ooh, no, I don't think so.
All right. This needs to be your promo shot. For sure, if you can find a photo. I cannot wait.
I got one.
Photoshop.
We'll just Photoshop of it, yeah. Oh, that's so good.
We'll throw it in. It'll be. Yeah. I've been racking my brain trying to think of where I might have a headshot, but we're using 3-year-old me.
Yay!
If you... It's perfect. That's amazing, honestly. Okay.
It'll be good.
All right, so mullets and overalls in college.
Well,
the best story ever.
Yeah. Mullets to overalls to college.
No, we're sticking with mullet overalls in college.
Oh, that's the progression.
The evolution, see? There's always an evolution. All right, so you're in college in Oshkosh.
Yeah, so I'm there for recording technology, which is just like studio recording. Really, really awesome program. Had some really great professors who just cared a lot. It was a really good... really good experience at the university. I did not care for the town or the state much. But the really cool thing about Oshkosh is it was in the middle of nowhere. And by that, I mean, it's 4 hours to Milwaukee, Madison, Minneapolis, St. Paul, 5 or 6 to Chicago. So I would just go to as many concerts. I would get the hell out of Oshkosh every weekend.
Yeah.
Go to concerts. Just try and see as much music as I could. So it was, overall, at the time, I didn't love being there, but I did really love the program and learned a ton.
Did you get use of like the studio a lot while you were in there?
Yeah. So you like you have to do different projects. They have a full recording studio. The really cool thing is, too, it was hooked up to the rest of the music building. So they had inputs in like the concert hall. So you could do, just your traditional studio recording, or you could like record in a lot of these different cool acoustic spaces, which was pretty wild.
That's cool.
And you were still pursuing guitar at that time through the college as well?
Yeah. So to get into Oshkosh, even though it was a recording program, you did have to audition on an instrument. And at the time, you could only do classical guitar, which I knew of. So in about 11th grade, I started picking up classical guitar, and my dad's a classical musician. So I'd been playing guitar for years at that point. But it came to me really easily, I found, more than like other styles, just because I think I'd had so much exposure to that music.
You had an ear for it, yeah.
Exactly, yeah, literally. And really picked it up quickly and started really enjoying it. And my freshman year, I actually did an internship at a studio in Minneapolis. And it was, one of the owners was... Bobby Z, who was Prince's drummer in the Revolution, I believe. Nice dude, but I didn't like see him much. I got to work with his brother on a session, David Z, who was the engineer for Purple Rain, the album.
Okay. So, like, I was gonna say, because he's from Minneapolis, right? Prince was
a Minnesotan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was huge getting to work there. But I found I did not like working in a studio. At the time, the music scene in Minneapolis still it's always had a great music scene, but it's
really
yeah oh yeah
that's
yeah,
not
yeah.
something talked funny, about yeah. often Minnesota's music scene.
Prince, Lizzo, Husker Du.
Oh, that's true.
Again, there's
yeah.
like a lot of great artists that have come out of there. And the thing, at least at the time, is it's a great music scene, but people don't always go beyond. Though there's, again, some really great
Same examples. With Indianapolis. Like, I'm from Indianapolis, and the music scene there is incredible. Not to say that so many artists have come out of Indianapolis, but the music that locals are putting on and sharing, and the bands and artists that they are bringing in is really incredible, like jazz and blues and all that. So yeah, I guess we just can't discount these smaller Midwestern towns.
Yeah, that's true.
Cities.
Prince also, he was alive at the time when I was there, though I never saw him, but like he has Paisley Park, which is multi-million dollar complex where touring artists will go to, like, they'll rehearse their touring show there before they actually tour it. Also a huge studio there. And Prince had moved, he was like in LA for a while, but like he always still had a presence in Minneapolis, and really, like, again, like, bolstered that community just from continuing to like work there and like put studios there and stuff.
Hey, everybody. I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about this new thing that we found. It is called Moonlight. It's amazing. We're still reading to our kids at night, and I can be honest with you, sometimes it's tedious because we're reading the same book over and over and over and over. Well, let me tell you, Moonlight is incredible. The magic of Moonlight is simple. It's the experience of reading together with a projection on the wall, because tablets, yes, are a staple for many families, and digital books can be overstimulating sometimes for little kids. And honestly, they leave little room for imagination. But Moonlight bridges the gap between traditional and digital books. There are playful projections, vivid sound effects, and read-along features make this multi-sensory story time a delight. Moonlight is here to help you create imagination-filled, interactive bedtimes for your whole family and make story time magical again. Use the code MOONLIGHT10 with our link to get an extra 10% off your purchase. It's very cool.
So yeah, did this internship at the studio and found I just really didn't like it that that much. A lot of the artists working there at the time were like, it was like a lot of high school bands and stuff. And just like, I don't know if I want to be like, I don't know. I had like other ideas for this. So I leaned more into the classical guitar at that point and started practicing like a ton. I was going to, again, like a ton of like classical guitar international artists performances again, all throughout the Midwest, doing lessons with them. So again, really good opportunities there. And I, really went hard at the classical guitar. Still finished my degree in recording, again, just to have that skill set. I remember at the time, like, talking to my parents, like, I just want to do a performance major and like totally switch. They're like, no, don't do that. Just, you can do both.
Yeah, stay the course. That's hard.
And I'm very glad I did, just because that's primarily what I'm doing now. I'm not doing a ton of classical guitar.
So you ended up getting your master's though, right? You went to graduate school for
classical guitar. And that's how I ended up here in New York City.
Where'd you go?
Manhattan School of Music, which it sounds like a great community college, but it's a smaller conservatory. Has a lot of the same professors as Juilliard. The way I like to describe it is like, Juilliard's here. They got really good, like, really good PR department, really good marketing. Oh. Manhattan School of Music's like,
that's pretty
funny.
Close.
So Pasadena City College out here, because we're right next to Caltech and JPL. Yeah. Like my astronomy teacher, I took like an astronomy class, and he teaches at Caltech and he works at JPL. So it's crazy when you're at least in that, you know, realm or in that same, you know, center of where these professionals are not only teaching at the school, but then you go to a school where you're not paying as much money and you're getting the same teachers. It's kind of insane.
That's really smart.
I mean, the thing was, I was still paying like Juilliard money. So private. So that's the thing. You know, my undergrad was a state school, pretty inexpensive comparatively. Manhattan School of Music, it's pretty expensive. There's talks about that with my parents. It's like, hey, if you want to do this, like, it's going to have an impact on the rest of your life financially, just with how much it costs. And I was like, it's fine. I'm living the dream. Part of it was I really wanted to go there. That's actually the school my dad went to for undergrad. And I really love New York. Like, more than getting into grad school, like, I wanted to have a career here in the city. So that was a way to do that.
And I think it's connections you make too. And this is what I tell my kids. It's like, I'm not so interested because my husband didn't go to college. And so my kids are like, and they're not school people. So they're like, my dad didn't go to college. And I'm like, yeah, but your dad kind of wishes he had had that experience, for one. And for two, like, I'm telling you to go for the connections that you're going to make. You know, especially in the entertainment industry, or really in the industry that you're in, try to look at college more as like a networking, as well as some of, you know, some educational things that you may not have found nuances in on your own, right? But when it's kind of forced on you, you can put that in your toolbox for later, but not so much as like a job, like you have to go to college to get a job, right? More so the connections. And did you feel moving into that kind of a hub, especially with being around, you know, like musicians that are serious, and because it's more of like not technical, but it's a focused school.
I don't think technical is totally inaccurate, because it was a performance degree, right? Like, I'm not doing research. Yeah. Like, it was very, you know, focused on getting better at playing guitar. Yeah. There's history classes and stuff like that too.
Just kidding. I like history class.
But
it's good to have in your toolbox, right? Yes, so that you can have conversations with people who are kind of understand where all that came from. And
To your point, I didn't totally grasp that aspect of developing like community while you're someplace. Yeah. So like, if I did it over, I put more focus on fostering those relationships and focusing on that part versus like just focusing on playing. And then also I moved to the city, and like I knew I had to get a job to make it work, right? Like, I had loans, but like, you know, those loan payments are going to hit this almost the second you graduate. You have like, I think it's a few months. But it's just like, to make sure I can like stay here, I gotta work. So it was, if I wasn't practicing, I was working.
Where did you work?
So I worked at this place called New York City Guitar School, just got a job answering the phones, and then worked my way up. It's where I worked for 12 years until I went full-time freelance. Yeah.
Which was right after you started with us.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it was October.
That's cool.
October or November. So yeah, that worked out pretty well in terms of like finding a job and being able to grow somewhere. Yeah. I lived on the Upper West Side, 108 and Broadway when I first moved here. I just walked up and down each avenue a different day, like dropping off resumes at restaurants, trying to get something. And I had like zero restaurant experience, which not a good way to try a job in New York.
Not in New York. Yeah. Those people are career.
They're lifers.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. I was like ready to give up. And then I found, you know, a listing at a guitar school on Craigslist, and I was like, we're going to make this work.
I found it.
Yep.
Well, it's just great how you went from, I'm going, you know, foot on foot, each one, I'm shaking hands. And then I went on Craigslist and I found my job.
it was nice. Nice not to have to hit another 30 blocks of an avenue.
That's cool though. You hit the ground. Oh, you literally like hit the ground and were like digging out to try to get a job.
Oh yeah. No, I remember I went to one restaurant, or it was like a pub in the 70s off like Amsterdam. And went and talked to the host, and she's like, yeah, the hunter's outside. You can go talk to him. And it was like maybe 10, and he looked like he'd been probably up all night and just kind of like sitting here.
Oh, shit.
Like, excuse me, sir.
You're like all bright and novice.
Yes. And he just slowly looked up to me as like, wow, you're really fresh off the boat, aren't you? I was like, yes, sir. Well,
yes, sir, and I'm willing
nice
to work.
To meet you. Yes. Didn't
fuck out of here, kid.
I didn't book it.
Oh,
and I can do a little dance.
No, but he assessed the situation correctly for sure.
That was like when I moved out to LA and I'd been bartending and serving and like been a trainer and opened stores. And like, I thought like, I'm, you know, I can get a job anywhere. And I remember I came to Pasadena and I went into this bar in Old Town called the 35er. And I walked up to the bartender and I was like, hey, you guys have any openings for, you know, bartenders? And she was like, yeah, when one of us dies. And I was like, great. Well, I'll be seeing you. Thanks. I don't wish that upon anybody.
No, let me know if anybody dies in the building.
Just check those obits.
Yeah, that's not easy. Actually, in LA, now everything's often done online, but you have to have a headshot. So you have to get it, like you get a serving job with a headshot, which is like grody. Wow. But yeah, really good. All right, so you graduated, then you started working and you were teaching at the school and, well, first answering phones and then teaching and stuff. How did you start with the podcast world, and was it the audio part, or how did that happen? How was that evolution for you?
Yeah, so... gosh, probably like, so all throughout that time, I was still doing like audio projects, primarily in the classical realm, just doing recordings for other classical guitarists. And similar to now, the way I book a lot of work is people don't like editing. And I like it. I love editing. So I was working just with a lot of classical guitarists. It's a really finicky instrument to record. It's like nail sounds and string sounds.
Yeah.
And it's a nightmare if you're editing yourself. It really quickly becomes not fun.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of that. And then I think like 6 years ago, I always liked video and doing video recording, but I was just like, I'm going to like try and figure this out. And had actually was living with some roommates at the time who worked in the film industry. So like... I was going to say they gave me advice, but it was more jabbing comments. So like they like, oh, show me your video. I'm like, all right. And like, oh, dude, your lighting sucks. You got to work on that. But like very valuable jabs, I'll say. It was just like, oh, I didn't even think about lighting. Oh, okay. Let's learn that, I guess. And just, yeah, kind of developed those skills, started doing a little bit of video production, again, more for just classical guitarists. And it kind of expanded from there, where I was just trying to add in more different kinds of projects, still all music. One of my first bigger projects was doing a rooftop music video shoot for a hair metal band out in Queens,
yes,
in Long Island.
Of course.
City. Yeah, so like really just tried to kind of add more arrows to the quiver, as they say.
Oh.
And
were you like a complete package? Were you like, I can do the video, I can edit the video, I can do the audio, like I can.
Yeah. So like, and that's really kind of how I was trying to develop myself. You know, one man band kind of thing. Like I can score it if it's an interview and you need music. I can do all the editing, lighting, tech, all it's a lot of work. And I do like, I love doing all of it. And now I'm kind of segmenting into more, I'm doing one thing for specific clients. There's a little, lets me breathe a little bit more.
So with starting Brooklyn Frequency, which is your company, and they're kind of housing all these facets of production.
Yeah. And it's, again, I kind of have split it into really just two distinct categories, which is podcast production, which has become a big part of what I'm doing now, editing and all that. And then like video production, which again is more on the music side of things or album side of things. Like I just helped a good buddy named Jim Search put out a comedy album, which we did a vinyl, CD, cassette, tape and digital release for.
That's crazy.
So it's, yeah, either like it's music or, you know, again, like album focused,
yeah,
I guess,
yeah,
is a better way to put it.
That's great. So you took your passion for music. And what's great too is that you already have the language, you have, yep, you know, like you can have conversations not only from a tech standpoint, but from an artistic standpoint, which I think is extremely important. And you've added it into now, like, so this is crazy. So I want to get to that, but I do want to talk about, so how many podcasts right now are you producing?
Yeah. So, but like producing and editing.
Besides the right. best one that you're on yes. right now.
I mean, this is the one I'm working with the most.
Yay!
Oh, cool. That's just because we require the most work.
No.
Exactly.
That's not it.
So...
Rob, help us.
Yeah. You guys are doing good. This will dovetail into how I got into this.
Okay, good. Because we're going to take a break after you talk about this, and we'll get into your what's happening now, Rob.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on a little show called Mom's Art 2. Woohoo! Great show. Check it out.
Ooh.
Working on a former guest of yours, Rob Schulte's show, Bill and Rob's. Also through Rob's, I'm working on, it just launched a couple weeks ago. It's called The World Needs Nerds.
That's a great title.
Through LA Comic Con show on the Sonar Network. What is that, four? I also work on, I feel like I'm blanking on.
Well, Vanderpump.
So I actually just edited a couple episodes for Rob, but I'm not a, that's not a regular, regular thing. And then
Vanderpump Robs.
Vanderpump
anyway,
Robs.
It's if you're into Vanderpump Rules.
Even if you're not into Vanderpump Rules.
I mean, yeah, it's hilarious.
Right?
Occasionally work on a couple of Star Trek shows, podcasts, Greatest Trek and Greatest Gen. And more routinely, I edit YouTube videos for them about once a month. But I also have edited their bonus podcast, which is reviewing Cheesecake Factory one item off the menu at a time.
Oh,
well, yeah,
you're
gonna have a podcast
forever.
For years.
It will never run out of material.
My husband has he can't even focus on that menu. He just wants to
he needs to listen to the podcast, and he can then every time go in and order that one thing from that week.
Hilarious.
That's a really good idea.
So you have some connection with comedians as well. Is that through the podcast world or?
Yeah, it's kind of not actually. So, or I guess it is in that I was a fan of my friend Jim's show before I even met him. He had a hip hop review podcast called Swatches and Boomboxes.
And
knew,
what's his name?
Jim Search.
Okay.
And so we had this show called Swatches and Boomboxes, hip hop show, just kind of reviewing albums from mostly from the 90s. And he lives here in Brooklyn. We both still go to this really cool bar called Beer Wax here in Brooklyn. There's also one in Queens, which is where we had our premiere for a documentary. And it's a craft beer bar, but also they've got vinyl over the back of the bar. Not just in frames, they have vinyl stacks, right? So they're always spinning records. They'll have DJs come in, vinyl DJs who do sets all the time. And a lot of those 90s, 2000s hip hop artists, they're still in Brooklyn. They're still around. So they'll get people like LP will swing by from Run the Jewels.
That's cool.
Yeah,
freaking
very
love
cool.
Run the Jewels. Oh my gosh.
How did you transition into what happened with the documentary thing?
Yeah, so being a fan of Jim's podcast, one day on Instagram, he posted hey, I'm going to try and record an album. If anyone knows how to do live audio, let me know. And this was at a time where, I was trying to make moves to be full-time freelance. It's I like this guy's stuff and I want to do that. So I just shot him a message. We met up at the bar that we ended up recording it at, really hit it off and made plans to record the album. And the documentary was originally just going to be as like, we should like, I have 1,000 cameras, I can shoot stuff. Let's just shoot just a little bit. Maybe we'll have 5-10 minutes we can use just for some like social media clips just to help promote the album. He's like, great, let's do it. I have a space down in Dumbo that I use split with another musician, and then I, you know, use for that kind of thing. So we go down there. I interviewed him for like 45 minutes, just like a talking head kind of thing. And I was like, Jim, we can use like all of this.
Yeah.
You were really, really good on camera, not, you know, really good answers. And the album itself is kind of about him having grown up in upstate New York in this town called Binghamton. It's 2-3 hours west of New York City.
Okay.
So kind of like a little bit up and just straight over. And it's about growing up in that town and then moving to Brooklyn, living there and becoming a comedian, right? And looking at things through this like upstate lens. So I you know, interviewed him kind of about that and his experiences. We went out to Binghamton for a day, shot just him like kind of walking around town. And then we did a day here in Brooklyn. Threw it all together, threw in some fun little special effects, some video effects, and it just really came together really, really nicely, really well. We just had our premiere on this past Sunday out at Beer Wax Queens.
How'd it go?
It went great. It was really great. A lot of fun, good turnout,
yeah,
good response. It's very nice to, you know, Jim was talking with Jim, and he's saying like, oh, wow, like, I'm used to being on stage, but not like being vulnerable. Like, you know,
yeah.
He's like, he told some jokes in it, but like, it was an interview about his life. And it was nice to have confirmation of what I had known for, you know, these 8 months to a year working on this project. Just like, he's good on camera.
Yeah.
It's like a good interview. Yeah. So it was really fun to have an audience react to that. I had some like, you know, editing jokes, or like I edited things to like be funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like good to have people laugh at those moments.
Yeah, right. They got it. You're like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
What's it called?
It's called Understanding Upstate. And the album is called Upstate Understanding. So
oh, good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the album, not the documentary, but the album that you helped him complete package, that's stand up?
Yeah.
Or what is that? Okay,
yeah.
So that's his stand up. And so you did the audio for that, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And so you've submitted this to some festivals and...
Yep. So we've got it submitted to 5 festivals here in the city. We start finding out if we got accepted in like 8 days for the first festival. And then it's kind of trailing through the fall. So we're hoping we'll have a few more dates to share.
Yay!
That'd be cool.
That's amazing. How did that feel directing all of that? And I mean, this was like your first bigger video production, correct? And
yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I feel good. And definitely one of my like longer productions too. Like I just try and work quickly, still like do good work, of course, but like I like to hit before deadlines.
Yeah.
Right? So someone's like, you got 3 weeks to do it. I try and hit in a week and a half if I can.
Yeah.
Right. So,
oh, I'm such the opposite. You're so cute.
I try.
Well, because we don't give him his material until the day before it's due.
Nah.
Oh, he's
exactly.
Like,
like, I sat literally 5 minutes before this and wrote out our intros and all of that.
Hey, look, I'm going to have the audio for this. Well,
that's true.
Oh, that's true. All right.
That's good.
Well, what else do you have going on?
What's next?
What's next for you, Rob?
So I'm going to be releasing an album of my own music on August 4th.
Yay.
Where can everybody hear your classical guitar? You're so classic.
It's not classical guitar.
Oh, shit.
So it's all instrumental, but basically the idea is, there's kind of 2 ideas behind it. One, it's music that like theoretically could be sampled, right?
So it's
very much, I was just thinking that. I was like, ooh, Kai, you and
that's
Kai
a really good idea.
Make a beat.
Oh, totally. Yeah, Kai stuff
get somebody
is
to...
fantastic. but yeah, it's called New York Sticky. It's basically like a soundtrack for walking around the city on a hot day. So that's why
Sticky.
It's coming out.
Oh, I was totally thinking of
I was thinking of Sticky Hot.
I mean, that works too.
That's awesome. Sure. Oh my God, you're so talented. And most of it you get done out of your house, which is incredible.
Yeah, it's I got a lovely, lovely office.
I think that's the thing is,
are we going to be able to hear this music on Spotify or and all of the things?
I'm not doing Spotify, but I am going to do a Bandcamp release. I don't think I'm going to do a physical release, but I'll do digital downloads. It's up for pre-sale right now. If you just go to brooklynfrequency.bandcamp.com.
Yay.
Or brooklynfrequency.com. I've got links for it up there as well.
Yay.
That's crazy. And then might we see the documentary?
Right now, since it's submitted to festivals, like pretty much all the ones we submitted to, you can't have it up for streaming yet.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll be a little while there. So probably sometime in the fall.
Unless you're living in an area where the festival is located. So you'll have to tell us which ones you get into. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all New York City. So totally. I'll keep you guys posted.
This is so exciting. Okay, well, Rob, you're going to put all the links and stuff in all of
can
our...
Can you do that for
absolutely.
Us? Can you put all your links in there for us?
I'm on it.
Okay, good.
Oh, wait. Do you have something to tell us?
Rob has something to tell us.
I just might.
Yay.
Moms are too.
Got something to tell you
right now.
Today.
Oh.
The only thing that I can think of is I just learned that the founder of Little Caesars, the pizza juggernaut.
Yeah, pizza.
Paid for Rosa Parks' rent in her later life because she moved to Detroit and fell on hard times, and the Little Caesars guy stepped in. So that's all I got.
That's really cool. That's really cool. And I wonder why, like, how is Rosa Parks not just being taken care of for the rest of her life? Like, people that are in the military and have to go into combat, how are they not taken care of? Like, Rosa Parks should have been living fucking the high life for the rest of her life.
Yeah, no, the backstory was she, like, because of, you know, everything that happened with the bus, her and her husband both lost their jobs in Alabama. So they moved to Detroit and then worked in nonprofit. Trying to make things better for people and just didn't. You know, not a lot of money in nonprofit now, certainly not back then.
Right.
And yeah, then
there's a reason it's called nonprofit.
It's true. It's true.
Well, I have a little connection to Rosa Parks.
You do? Are you related to her?
No,
you
we have her, the same birthday.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, well, that makes sense. You're a leader.
I want to know who I have the same birthday as. It's on the opposite.
Yes. Well, now we do.
It's
we
the
have.
Opposite
is it
end
Hitler?
Of the spectrum.
That's who I thought.
Modern.
My brother's is Hitler.
It's Donald Trump. But also Burl Ives. So I feel like.
Hey.
You know,
I feel like the pendulum moved way further with the Burl Ives. I think we should go that route.
For sure.
You are the sweet spot. On that pendulum.
I mean, I don't want to be the sweet spot on that pendulum. I want to be further towards Burl
Ives. Oh,
Burl Ives vibes.
Ooh,
Burl Ives vibes.
That's a good DJ name. I'm writing that down.
Burl Ives vibes.
Is it Burl Ives? Burl Ives vibes.
Just
Burl
vibes.
That's hard to say.
Burl vibes.
Juror.
Oh, so we'll just use that as like a warm up for actors. Burl's Ives vibes. Burl's Ives vibes.
Burl's Ives vibes. Burl's Ives vibes. That's actually really good for us, too. Wow. You made it through the whole episode. We really appreciate that.
And you know what else we would really appreciate? If you went to Apple Podcast or wherever you listen and rate and review Moms Are Too.
It really helps us so much and lets other future listeners get an idea of what they're getting themselves into.
That's right. Moms Are Too is produced by Rob Adler with Brooklyn Frequency. Music by Kai Sample.